Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are. We wouldn't be here, so let's not waste any more time. Here's Bradley.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to yet another Brad and Body Podcast. It's been a fabulous week. Games galore. It hasn't finished. It just keeps rolling, Body. Round 17 is obviously in the bank for the NBL, and round 12 is in the bank for the WNBL. We're starting to see the teams, and it looks like we know who's going to make it, one or two spots maybe here and there. But outside of that, how are you, my friend?
I'm good, but is round 17 finished? I think we've still got Southeast Melbourne City.
Well, you're right. It's in the bank, but there's like round 17 just fixes into round 14 at the moment. It's just gone straight. We do have a couple of games. I know it's fair. Ironically, it's just been such so many games blocked into one. And obviously, you would have seen me. I've been calling a lot of games lately, but it's all just been Sydney and Illawarra games. Yeah, thank you. It's all been Sydney and Illawarra games, but they've just been jam-packed. But the amazing thing, and I was saying this to someone the other day, is even though there's games like back-to-back, the crowds are still amazing. Like Illawarra are literally packing the joint every time, and why wouldn't you in the way they're playing? And the Kings had 17,500 people at the Pink Hoops game the other day against Tasmania, right?
Well, and that was just,
it's fabulous.
Tasmania's though, they're a bad team. That's your champs, but you've also this.
Nothing to do with Tasmania. Well, I guess if you answer that, it is Tasmania. But what I'm saying is they would have been there whoever it was, is what I'm saying. That's what I was really getting at. But look, let's start with the WNBL. Over to you.
Well, wow, where do I begin?
Okay, well, let me start then. Geelong beat the Flames by 12. Oh, no, we'll start the first game. Bendigo beating Perth, which...
That was extraordinary because they were 6-0 going to the last quarter, and they outscored them by 15, so they really did turn that on its head. Bendigo, Sammy Whitcomb's just got to hit a couple of shots, and the game's broken wide open.
Yeah, big time. Geelong beating the Flames,
Inflicted... They inflicted Geelong's biggest loss in their inaugural season in Sydney a couple of weeks ago. And I did go for Geelong, if you remember. I do remember. Thought they'd get them this time.
The 94 text messages you sent me since they've won saying, see, I told you, really made me remember that, Body. So thank you.
You should have focused in on that. look, I just think a 20-point margin, when you take out Keeley Froling, Monique Conti, and the import, and Monique Conti's suiting, and a lot of people are expecting her to play, but I really don't. I think she can get through the warm-up, and then they check, are you okay? Because she's got a groin injury. I'd hardly expect to see her again this season.
Yeah, I agree. Townsville put the heat on the Caps. Perth backed up after that first the loss, I should say, against Bendigo to beat Southside. The Flames, I watched that Adelaide game. That was unbelievable. I think it was it 24-1 or 2 or something? It was just a ridiculous.
Yeah. Can I say to you, the last time Adelaide played Sydney in Sydney, you would have seen that one too.
I would have. I did.
And that's when Adelaide finished the game with a 34-11 last quarter. Came from behind, won comfortably. I think Sydney remembered that because 30-9 was the first quarter. It was almost like, we're not waiting for the
last
quarter.
We're not having this guy. Yeah. Caught up with Scotty Ninnis, which was great while I was there. And a frustrated coach, obviously, only scoring 60 points. And to round out the game, which wasn't a shock, Bendigo to beat Geelong.
That was closer. That was closer than the score.
I agree with that.
We're going to call that the regional rampage from now on.
Ooh, he's got a name. My conversation with you, but that's a separate conversation. Look, Bendigo links Townsville. Done. Forget it. Right there. That's 1, 2, and 3. Still, Bendigo will take top spot. Links and Fire still got a little bit there. That's not confirmed who gets second, but
Because Nia Coffey joining Townsville. Mm. Nia Coffey was a fabulous import when she played for Adelaide Lightning a few years ago. She was an absolute standout player. So her joining Townsville at this point, and again, as I mentioned, Abby Bishop finishing her career at Canberra, which is why I like Canberra as the team that will actually sneak into the four.
Well, yeah, but what's interesting is, you know, that loss from the Flames to Geelong, that was bad, because now Flames are now 6-9, Geelong 6-10. That should have been 5-11 and 7-8. And then there's a big gap. So the Flames let that slip. And as you said, the Caps 5-11. Ironically, the same as Adelaide, but you can see the upside for the Caps is what you're saying.
Yeah, and I can't see it for Adelaide. I think they're cooked. I think they feel cooked. They're playing like when's the end of the schedule sort of thing.
Yeah.
Whereas Canberra has still got, you know, as long as you've got Jade Melbourne running around, you've got someone that's enthusing everybody. So I think they're still in the picture. But this round here becomes really important.
Well, let me get your tips before we go. We might as well just go straight into that. Townsville at home versus the Flames on Wednesday night. Yeah. Yep. So that's, I agree.
That's
Townsville.
That.
Bendigo. Bendigo to put the heat down on Adelaide in Bendigo. Caps home to Southside. Now, I'm sure you're going to go Caps here.
Have to, I think, because I think they're going to make a run. Southside, again, is another one that's probably out of the picture.
Just can't seem to get it together, can they, this year?
Not for the four quarters. They play some good basketball, but not for four.
Yeah. I'm with you. I go for the Caps. Flames at home versus Perth. Oh, I just have to think Perth. I just don't know. Okay, the Flames are very up and down.
I'm agreeing with you, but if we're correct, then they have lost to the second-place team and the third-place team in the same round, which means their likelihood of being the fourth-place team gets a little shaky. So what would that take their record to?
If they lost both, are you saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would take them to 6-11, which would be equal to the Caps if they won their game, and that's where you're coming from.
Yep.
I completely agree. And then the last game, well, Townsville get a doubleheader this week. The next one against Geelong on the Saturday night. Yeah, they'll get that too. So, look.
Player of the round?
I just want to say, Perth will still stay in sec. My player of the round, Alex Wilson, I just thought tremendous. I know one game she lost for Perth, but 29 and 27, back it up, loss and a win. Really, she was the standout to me this round. Your thoughts?
I'm going with Ali Wilson, who averaged 28 over the round, had one win and one loss. Oh, wait a minute. I just realized something. She was terrific.
You're a legend. All right, that's the WNBL wrap, and what a round it was. Let's move on now to the NBL, and wow, what a round that one was. Yep, so let's go with the top six. I'll start with mine today.
Okay.
I am going number one, Illawarra. Number two, the Southeast Melbourne Phoenix. Number three, Melbourne. I'm putting Sydney at four. To all our Perth listeners, yep, looking forward to you giving it to me. I've got them at five, and I've got Adelaide sneaking in at six, purely because I just don't know where Tasmania are going to get wins now. I think you mentioned it last week. It's got to catch up. Yeah, it's got to catch up.
It starts with Jack McVay going to the NBA. Okay, so you replace him with Craig Sorbrood. Turns out he's not the right import. You got Sean McDonald injured. They've managed to negotiate their way through that. And then McDonald comes back. They start winning. Will Magne goes out. And that's the first.
Gets great steals and throws it a half-court shot with 45 seconds to go. There's a bit of talk on socials that he looked up at the clock and it was 4:04, but I don't know what that...
He might have seen the shot clock but that was a...
I felt so sorry for him, and I don't know, and we'll come back to the rest of the teams, but I just want to talk about this. And I listened to Scott Roth's post-game press conference, and he was actually really good. He said, look, you know, I think he went to Princeton, and he's like, you know, I would have hoped, you know, a guy in Princeton would have been able to have a calculator or something like that. He said something that was hilarious, but it was in real good humor, and he said, but you know what I loved? Every player went up to him, put their hand around him. Don't worry, let's move on. You know, not what the hell are you doing? None of that. It was just,
that's why he's loving it here.
Yeah,
that's why he's loving it here.
Because of that team.
But let's get back to it. So we've got McVay out, we've got Magne out. Then McDonald goes out and we go, all right, they can't win anymore. They still come out and beat Adelaide. In overtime, and it's an absolutely extraordinary performance.
That was like their championship game.
But then Majuk Deng, he's cooked now. Now, how many players can you take out and still be... So I'm looking at them. They give you three solid quarters. Three against New Zealand, three against Sydney. But they just can't go the distance with them.
40 minutes. I also heard Coach Roth say that someone asked him in a presser, hey, we know is Will back? There's talk that he's going to be fine. He's like, I have no idea where this is coming from, because I'm telling you he's got another 6 to 8 weeks. Now, this was just said in the last press conference. Will Magnay's done as far as he's concerned, unless he's trying to throw a you know, a spanner in the works, which I don't think. No, that's right. That's what I'm saying. I don't think so. He's gone. Obviously, Shawnee Mack's gone. He did say the only guy that could be possible is Deng, but no, he's gone for the season. So that was really it. So anyway, let's go.
They can't now. Look at what they've got.
Yeah. What can I have your six though, please? Can I have
yours? Okay. Well, for that reason. Yep. I put Tip Adelaide in over them. I'm also looking at the games they've got left.
So you'd have Illawarra 1. Who you got 2?
Yeah, Illawarra 1. I've got Perth 2 at the moment. It's on 4. Okay. Southeast Melbourne 3, Melbourne 4, Sydney 5. So I've got Sydney and Perth reversed with you. I think you've got Sydney a bit higher. Mm-hmm. And then I've got Adelaide 6th because Adelaide still have Sydney away, New Zealand at home, Brisbane at home, Southeast Melbourne and Perth away now. Out of that lot, I think the worst they can do is to win 2, which already takes them. That would take them to say 13 or 16.
Just and the only thing I want to add here.
Hang on, look at Tasmania. They're 12 and 13 now. They got Southeast Melbourne, Illawarra, Melbourne, Cairns. They might win one of those. So that I can't.
I've done the NPL predictor. I know I don't know how much you like that, but I love it because I love playing around with it. And you go, it is absolutely amazing. Well, true, and with the predictor as well. But as there's just you can just press one game. Like let's just use Southeast Melbourne Phoenix and the Kings. If the Kings win, they could potentially go into second spot, I think, because Perth could then lose to Melbourne after that, or Melbourne could go into second. There is just so much that can go on. One game can change it. So here am I sitting here going, look, I've got Sydney in 4. Mate, they could end up 5. There is no question with that, but they could also end up 2. And all of that is the same between Sydney, Melbourne, Southeast and Perth. That is 2 to 4, you know, 2 to 5 for me. And it's too hard to say. There's one predictor I did. Southeast Melbourne are playing the Perth in Perth for the last game. That could be from between 2nd and 5th. Melbourne were playing. If they would have beaten Illawarra this week, they would have been in 1st spot. They then dropped to 4th with a loss. Yeah. It's so hard to predict.
But just think back, just a month or so ago, we would have had Illawarra, Melbourne
daylight,
looking like they're heading for the pointy end.
I shouldn't say daylight, exactly. Yeah.
They were heading for the pointy end.
And now, just a reminder, and I'm sure most of our listeners who are very, very savvy basketballers and know what they're going on, if we go with the way you're going
at
the
moment.
Yeah, if you go with the way we're going, Adelaide would then go to Sydney because you've got them 5 and 6. Adelaide would go to Sydney and have to – and a play-in game. Mm-hmm. The loser, gone. The winner then plays the loser of 3rd and 4th. So that would be Southeast Melbourne and Melbourne. The loser would play, let's call it Sydney win. I'm just going home teams here. And then so Melbourne would play Sydney if you talk about the away team, and Southeast would go into the semi, and then the winner of that last game goes in the semi. So the benefit of coming 1 to 2 is obvious. You get into the semi. But 3 and 4 is huge as well. What it does mean is that you can't lose unless you're at home. Mm. That's right. You're at home. There's no way you can be knocked out where Adelaide wouldn't get a home game.
No.
Unless they get to the semis, but they got 2 wins on the road to get that first. So, okay, let's start.
It's a volatile group, Brad. It's a volatile group. They could win the championship or they could implode in the next 2 weeks.
Well, let's start with Illawarra. I'm going down your words. Outstanding. The best team in the league by far. Their pace is unbelievable. Last night, in the game that I called down there, I don't know if you saw my halftime interview. I could not believe, or was it first quarter or whatever it was? No, it was halftime. 21 assists on 25 makes. That is extraordinary.
Yep.
Unbelievable. Really, and I think they had 39 assists for the game. This team is...
Look at it. They had 6 players in double figures, 2 mm-hmm. on 9. So virtually 8 players, and not one of them was named Trey Kell.
Yeah, great call.
And he's got, a dozen assists.
Yeah.
So it's like, this team really knows its roles, and the players are happy. They're content with what they're doing. Mm-hmm. I like them. I like them a lot.
Yeah, I do too. Sorry, it was 37 assists, right? So that's what they had. Yep. Just to put that into context, Adelaide, who scored 99 points, had 21 assists. I'm not saying that's bad from Adelaide, but I'm just trying to get it into where Cairns had 17. 37 assists to a team like Adelaide, who won really well, had 21.
Yeah.
That is just – I mean, I just haven't seen it before. You know, Sydney, they won. They beat Tasmania. They had 14 assists.
Yeah.
Like, this is just extraordinary basketball.
The only thing that can derail Illawarra from here is if they get ahead of themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
If they start to think, you know, we've got this. But I think Justin Tatum.
I don't know if you'll let that. Okay, let's move on to Southeast Melbourne. Look, you and I sat here last week and gone, oh, man, Derek Walton Jr., that's a huge loss to me.
But you said that. You kept saying I said it'll be all right.
Whole season relies on Nathan Sobey now to me. Matt Hurt, doing his job. Wieskamp stepping up. Everyone else is doing Jordan Hunter, all of that. The only guy that I think can make or break that is Sobey. If he keeps playing the way he does, they're in the grand final. They will make the grand final versus Illawarra, in my opinion. As long as he doesn't do that other stuff that he could do, then that will make them struggle.
As I've always just not always for his team. In a close finish, that's where I worry about him, because he takes on that, I'll do it. Don't worry. Leave it with me. I'll do it. And they go away from what's making him good now is he's a complete player. He's gone the route of Tyler Harvey. Now, the early years, Tyler Harvey just shot the ball every time he got it. Now, he's an all-round terrific player. I used to call him a coach killer. I love him now. Same player. But I think he doesn't slip. Harvey's not slipping, whereas I think Nathan might slip. You know, you've got to keep an eye on that in a close finish. That's where they'll miss Walton. But Fox was playing great basketball. Ben Ayres now coming in for some spot minutes. That is a good group. Angus Glover really does relish that role when he's given it.
Yes.
When Walton's out of the side. So, and what a reliable. You know, when Angus Glover shoots a three and it misses, I go, what? What the hell just happened?
How did that happen? Yeah. Did he shoot right-handed? What did he do? That's ridiculous. No, yeah. I know. Look, I'm pretty sure that in the beginning of the season, I had Sobes in my All-NBL 1 team. And the reason I had that is because I thought with what happened in Brisbane, I thought he'd have a chip on his shoulder. And if anyone's a great basketballer with a chip on his shoulder, it's someone like him. He's had a tremendous year so far. I just don't know. I don't think he'd be in the first All-NBL team because I just think there's too much ahead of him. But that's no disrespect to the way he's playing. All right. So we've spoken about Southeast. We move on to Melbourne. Poor body. What's going on?
They've run off the rails a bit, haven't they? They just don't seem to be able to get it together.
I was right there and watched them play against Illawarra.
What did you notice about the body language of the group? I mean, are they still together?
They're different. When I look at an Illawarra, I think they're a group. They put their arms around each other. Yep. When I look at a Melbourne, they don't do that because they're a bunch of veterans.
Yep.
Now, I saw Chris Golding come off the court and he'll look at Jack White and yell at him, but not bad. It's come on, keep going. Yep. I have no issue with that. You can do that because you're not dealing with young, young, influential guys where, you know, like, come on, get that. Oh, what did Chris say to me? No, it's not like that. You've got Jack White, you've got Deli, you've got Illy, Rob Lowe, Ian Clark, right? You've got these guys that I know that you don't have to worry about what you say to them. They've still got that situation. We lost a grand final last year. It's all about that. But I just found it interesting that Chris Golding comes out in the first quarter. Fantastic. Knocking down threes. The team looks good. He didn't score in the second half. He took three or four shots. This team had nothing left. So that's my concern. They need Ian Clark humming. I think that's
the two things that I've noticed is Ian Clark's form has dropped away so dramatically that I can only conclude he's carrying a niggle of some sort.
Yeah, could be.
Because it's too dramatic a fall from grace to not be influenced physically. There's something there. That's one. Two, I thought Illawarra made him look old. And that was the first time that Rob Lowe and Marcus Lee, I'm not singling those guys out, Dele, Shaley, I mean, he battled hard. Chris Gordon, I mean, suddenly they looked like their ages.
Well, just to put the Ian Clark in perspective, he's played 24 games this year. He's averaging 12.3 points at 43%. The 43 is the least he's ever shot here, 43%. Yeah. But what's more important, 36% from the three. Last year, nearly 42. Mm. It's a big difference.
It is.
And that's – I'm not blaming him. He's not
no,
like
no, – no,
I did ask Dean Vickerman that, and he said to me that he's firing. We're happy with him. We know he's one or two shots away from being the Ian Clark that we know of him. So that's why I just can't – something in the back of my mind is like, just don't underestimate Ian Clark. The last one I'll give you is I appreciate – just want you to know that. I appreciate Jack White. But
to those listeners who know that Brad loves everything, from the moment he gets up and the sun's shining or if it's raining, it doesn't matter, he loves it. It's really hard for him to go back on saying he loves something to, what was it? I was impressed.
I was very impressed. I even Googled, give me other sayings for the word love. And you know what it said? Not botty. I really appreciate Jack White's game. Yeah. But it needs more.
Yeah.
It needs more. It's too up and down.
He's got range that Xavier Cooks hasn't. But when you guys are raving about Xavier Cooks, I'm thinking I really like Xavier inside the key, both ends of the floor, defensively and offensively. But outside, I'd leave him open all night, every night. And Jack White, his game's just gone off. He's just not delivering what he can or what he should.
Well, Jack White in his career, he's played 63 games in NBL, I'm talking about.
Yep.
He shoots 29% from the three-point line.
That's not great.
Now, no, in this day and age, that's not enough.
That's not great.
Yeah, it's not enough. Taking two and a bit a game, by the way. All right, we've spoken Sydney, Perth. Right, where do we rate them? And before you answer this, I want to throw this at you. 6-1 on the road. They haven't been to Perth for ages. They now come home, and I think, I'm sure I'm right in saying it's four or five games left or five or six, but they're all at home bar one, right? And I knew that. They did have a very similar situation recently. I can't remember if it was last year or the year before, but they fold. They weren't good enough. They've gone home. They've won against Adelaide in a good win because I thought Adelaide played okay, right?
Yeah,
in a good win. Okay. But there's just something that I don't understand. I don't like Keanu Pinder coming off the bench.
Neither
I don't agree with it.
Why is it we're starting? Yeah, I
don't understand that. I do love that Doolittle is back, and he's a big piece for them. Are they second spot there for keeps, in your opinion, Boddy?
They could be at the end of the regular season, but I don't see them in the grand final because I'm sorry, I'm not a believer in John Release coaching. I think the style they play is too one-on-one or one-on-five too often, and that they don't run sets enough times. You know, you got Bryce Cotton, I'd be running everything for him because what he doesn't score, he'll pass off to someone in a better position. And I just don't like the way that – you know, I've got a lot of time for Ben Henshaw and Elijah Pepper and these kids. But they come down, they get the ball one end, they dribble it down, they pull up and take a three. Okay, good luck to you. You nailed one, you nailed two. But is that how you want to play? Is that going to work for you in a final situation? So, yes, I can see them finishing second on the ladder because of what's left in the home away season.
Which means they've got to
– yeah, yeah.
But that means they're going to drop one at home because if they finish second, they get a semi-final. That would be against the winner of 3 versus 4, if I'm not mistaken. I think that's how it's done. Yeah,
it is. And that will be a game they will struggle to win. A series they'll struggle to win.
We've spoken Adelaide, enough said about them. I think we both agree Tasmania in seven. I just want to bounce one thing off you. Do New Zealand or Cairns overtake Bullets? Can't put Cairns. Sorry, forget that. That was a silly comment. Does New Zealand overtake Cairns and get overtake Brisbane and get enough wins to bounce into eighth?
Okay, I've got two things to say to that.
Mm-hmm.
One, who cares?
I was going to say you don't care. I could see that coming.
And two, yes. because Brisbane is awful and they're not helping themselves. You know, I don't know what Justin Shuler is thinking when he starts the DP and he's got Isaac White sitting on the bench. I mean, if you're down this many horses, then please start your thoroughbreds.
I'm coming back to that because we're going to move on. Can you tell me your best moment, please?
My best moment was Sam Meninga in the New Zealand win over over Tasmania. Two dunks in succession, then a three, then somebody else scored, then he hits another three. So he had 7 points in a row and 10 of 12 that broke open the game in the third quarter. That was where they won it. He was phenomenal. But those plays, two dunks in a row followed by a three, that was my play of the round. What was yours?
My play is a few minutes. And that is DJ's seven threes in the first quarter. Okay. That was wow. I mean, when you're feeling like that, the thing's a damn hula hoop. And he is in that category with a Bryce, with a CG 43. And the only guy I put just maybe a bit underneath that is like a Hung Jong Lee if he gets going, but he's not in that caliber. Please don't get me wrong. But just those guys that can just, they could shoot six and seven and eight. And they're all going in, and they don't even look like missing. That was enjoyable.
So your player of the round?
Well, I'm going with DJ as well. I thought he just went up and put the smack down on Cairns in that first quarter, and very similar to what they did in the Kings in Sydney, where it was like, you know, out by 20, 30-something to 10-something, that type of thing. And I thought that was a good win for Adelaide in a must-win for them to get into that spot. And I thought DJ deserved the play of the round. But can I just say, there was a lot. Quatnoy, fantastic. Sam Meninga was another one. Rob from Cairns.
Lots of people did it. They had to head for the hills because the police were coming. If you go robbing in Cairns.
Rob Edwards from Cairns. I thought he had 30 in one of the games. So there was big numbers put up. But I just, the reason, which was right there with Quatnoy.
Okay, so I'm going to disagree with you completely. My player of the round was Lachie Ulbrich. I think that one of the secrets to Illawarra's success has been its bench and the fact that the bench is prepared to play its roles. Mm. That second five of, off the top of my head, Hickey, Hung Jong Lee, Todd Blanchfield, Darius Days and Lachie Ulbrich, that's a pretty good second group. Mm. Before you even get to Dan Greeter or William McDowell White's brother, you know, that's great. But Lachie, what he did against Melbourne was 18 points on 8 of 9 shooting in 16 minutes, and then he backed that up with 14 points on 6 of 6 shooting. So his last two games, he's gone 14 out of 15 from the floor. I'm thinking, don't overlook these guys that are part of the overall
pick. I feel so bad. Did you see my interview at halftime with Lachie?
No, I saw you do an interview and I then went to another station and watched commercials.
Are you talking? You and my wife watching the same channels? I did an interview with him. And apparently he went to shake my hand at the end, but I had to throw to the commentators and I missed it and I felt so bad. So there's a few things on socials. But anyway, that's the thing. I do like it. Can you Lachie's great. And Darius Days, by the way, done a hamstring. He went off, did not come back on, didn't even come out of the locker room. Scans will be had on his hamstring. That worried me. No one around, non-impact injury. So that could be very hurtful for them. Can I have your Nodge Nasty?
Yeah, you can. I've seen there's a lot more in the WNBL than the NBL, but I'm seeing it in the NBL too. It's when people drive to the hoop and they throw this one-handed layup, which almost from the hip. Okay, they don't take it up with two in the traditional way and then release with the one. They just take it up with the one. Now the amount of times that hits the backboard and just ricochets off and misses is extraordinary to me that coaches are letting that happen. I see play, especially in the WNBL, I see player after player doing that. And now look, if there's a big guy coming at you and you want to go with one hand to get around him, that works for me.
Different.
Use it in that situation. But if you've got an open layup, take it up and put it in. You're Rosen Rattler.
Mine goes out to, and I guess it's a lot of clubs, these injuries are starting to become a problem. Right? Yep. And I'm starting to question, where is all this insight coming from? They've got all this, catapult, which is all the stuff that they put on and to see when they're, going to be injury prone and everything. Why are we having more injuries now than we've ever had before? Look at Brisbane. They had 2 7-footers out, one concussion, so you can't, that's unlucky, right? But you got a 2 7-footers out, Denga Dell, a former NBA player, Casey Prather, they're down 4 legitimate starters. I know Rocco hasn't started much, but you could argue some or every one of those could start in an NBL team. Yeah. I then look at Southeast and they've had injuries. Everyone's gone through this. And I'm just starting to think something's got to change. Now, if it's the fact that we're playing a lot more games, well, then it should be less training, right? Yeah. There's got to, because to all our listeners, I can understand if you play back-to-back games, that's fine. You do back-to-back trainings. So if you've got a 7-day week, if you have one game a week, you train 4. So in other words, you're literally having 5 days of playing. Mm-hmm. Right? No difference if you play 3 or 4 games. What I'm trying to work out is something's got to change because these injuries are decimating teams, and Brisbane, Cairns, all of them, look what happened to them this year.
Yeah, and New Zealand, you can go on.
Oh, New Zealand.
I'm going to say one word and you're going to shut me down straight away. One word. Decals. Okay, that's it for this week.
Quickly, give me your tips. Cairns at home versus Illawarra.
I thought we got South East Melbourne, Sydney.
Yes. Okay. South East Melbourne, Sydney. You've got South East. So do I. Perth, Melbourne. Don't ask me why. Melbourne. I just think Melbourne. Yep.
Me too. I don't know. Okay. Maybe I don't have faith in Perth.
No, I have more faith in Perth. In Melbourne getting a win because they need it. Right. Let's go to round 18. I've got Illawarra, by the way, as our summer shootout. I don't know if people are following that. If you, the way teams, I know you'll be nodding your head. I've got them at 118 points, by the way. Cairns to lose to Illawarra. Do you agree?
Yeah.
New Zealand to beat Brisbane in New Zealand. Do you agree?
Absolutely.
Do you agree Sydney will beat Adelaide?
Where are they playing?
Sydney, Friday night.
That's contentious. That could go either way.
It's a tough one, isn't it?
Mm. I'm going to favour Sydney for the home.
Yeah, me too.
But Phoenix, you know, I'm not convinced.
Yep. Phoenix to beat Tasmania. I think we agree on that Saturday. Perth at home versus Cairns. Perth to get that. Perth.
Yeah.
Yep. Brisbane at home versus Melbourne. Melbourne to get that one.
Yep.
Oh, buddy, we're agreeing with everything. Adelaide at home versus New Zealand. Adelaide.
More than likely. I'm not convinced. I know Adelaide's going to pick up a couple more, but I'm not sure which ones they'll be. Brad, it's been a pleasure, but goodbye.
On that note, see you later all. Can I just say, you have a go at me all the time about I say love. You're using this damn word contentious a lot. Where are you getting that from?
The dictionary. It's a book that's filled with words, and you might want to have a look at it at some stage.
I might look up a couple of other words in the dictionary to say to you.
There's one after contentious that covers you pretty well.